So today we're going to talk about something that's very controversial. We're going to piss somebody off today. And probably multiple people, but that's because this story is completely whack. Today we're going to talk about Euronymous Mayhem and the Norwegian black metal scene.
Borky, 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 borky.
Borky, borky, borky. Shit.
You had one
Take two.
Job.
It's evil! Don't touch it!
It's alive!
My wife is here.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Borgy Borgy. Zach's picked an episode with some terrible names that he has to pronounce. I tried to avoid this.
Yes. But it's just
gonna
be,
doing, bud?
This is going to be a walk in the fucking park compared to the last couple weeks, man. I swear to God.
All right. Yeah, it's going to be easier to take than children getting.
You know. Yeah. I'm just drinking coffee today. So, but guess what? I'm drinking it black.
Irish style or just
black metal style. Yeah. Actually, that's a lie. They like to they probably take it with cream and mini sugars.
Well, they do use white with the black. It accents the black.
You're talking about the corpse paint. There we go. Yeah. All right. Todd, how are you doing?
All shades of gray.
Throwing down on some tea, I see.
Yeah, the Todd abides. The Todd abides.
All right. We disagree on hats, but still friends.
I don't give a shit. Season started, bro. We're in.
You're
like my bitch little brother that, you know.
Okay.
Somebody else touches you, I'll beat the fuck out of them. You're a fucking NL Central guy, but what, you know, I'm gonna pester the shit out of you and treat you like shit.
I'm allowed to talk to him that way. Nobody else is. You son of a bitch.
You're like death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Dave Melbourne to me.
Oh, my gentle Jesus.
Up front, Lindsay.
Anyway, so Lindy's not here. I guess there's just not enough murder and mayhem in this for her. Even though
there's a lot of mayhem.
Well, she is actually sitting in front of her computer, but she is in a three-way meeting with all I seen was multiple spreadsheets. She has three screens.
All I heard was three-way.
One is the meeting people in little camera boxes, and the other two are sheets with shitloads of fucking numbers. And I was like, they went above 10, so I'm out.
No, bless her for being able to do it. I know she can do it. It's just so weird to me. Yeah, so, like, I'm lost and I don't. I've lost interest. I don't care.
Once you said like four numbers, I'm out. I'm out.
Now this is boring the shit out of me. I can't have it.
My hope and desire is that she will be able to find for herself a more productive job because, I mean, she is like the central hub of this business.
Oh, yeah. She leaves her done, I think.
And it's kind of unfathomable the amount of time she puts in. And I mean, I know she makes okay money, but it's not anything what
It's she, not even close to what she deserves, yeah.
Yeah.
But fair enough.
And especially, you know, like it is right now, it's end of month, and they're a monthly financial setup, and dude, trying to make the books work and
Well,
I'm not envious of that part for sure.
No, but you know, that's why she has, you know, Jeeps and a house and all those things that, you know, one could want. And
you have a van down by the river.
Well, I have a motorhome almost out by a lake.
Close to a lake. I have a motorhome close to a lake. So kiss my ass.
Yeah.
One day it'll be right there. Well, one day it'll be in Texas.
Well, if the Great Salt Lake ever fills back up to what it was even 12 to 15 years ago.
But that don't happen.
I'll be a lot closer to the lake.
Well, what do you guys know about black metal? Did you listen to a lot of black metal?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to say I have listened to black metal. Yes. I will not name bands that I prefer to like, because as it is with most things, when you're talking about punk, metal, black metal, anything else, you get the hardcore fucking assholes that are like, fucking circle jerks aren't punk.
I'll eat this bullet and say 90% of the people that are into black metal are all fucking like, they're just nerds. And they're all
they're purists, assholes. Yeah. People tell me they would see
your negative stream and be like, oh, what sissy music you listen to?
Oh, it's great. It's actually great. Just give it a chance. Or you actually listen to it when you're at home alone. You just don't tell your friends, lying asshole, because you have to, because it's that good. But like hardcore punk fans will tell you, it's like, oh, that's Rancid's not punk. I'm like, I'm gonna kiss my ass. I don't care. Yeah. I don't give a fuck. I ain't wrestling somebody over what they think music is. So the only black metal that I ever listened, I listened to some Cradle of Filth, which a lot of people will be angry about that right now. They'll be like, that's not black metal. Also listen to Bathory. I like Bathory. And then like Venom. But I didn't listen to a lot of Mayhem. I think their first album was more, it sounded more like hardcore, like punk rock. Their first one did, I thought, than black metal. But then a lot of people said Samhain sounds more like black metal than punk. Right. I'm not getting in the argument.
Production value is the same.
Samhain's production value, I think, was a little better than Bathory's. No, it was a shitload better than Bathory's. That was recorded in like the bottom of a well where the girl from The Ring came from.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Since you brought up Venom, that's where the term black metal originated from.
Yeah, they named one of their albums that.
Yeah, it was called Black. It was called Black Metal. I think they released it in like 1982. Does that sound right?
That'd be right there. Yeah.
And these guys were just—they weren't lying about it. I mean, they used satanic imagery. Their songs were about Satanism and, you know, sacrifice and all that good shit. But they made it abundantly clear that like, this is an act. This is not for real. We're here for the beers and the bitches. But
we're having fun.
Some kids in Norway and Sweden, they were like, we beg to differ. Mm-hmm. We think this is real. And that's kind of the origin of where our story is going to start. So
we think playing a guitar actually makes us a Viking.
Yeah. Something like that. Yeah. So we're going to start back in 1980 when,
I'd only been alive for a year.
You guys were all of what? 2 years old?
Still in diapers. Hardcore.
Three.
A year.
Three. Yeah.
I was 79. So depending
this is
on
pre-Empire,
what month,
man. Pre-Empire.
Yeah. This is New Hope territory. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we called everybody else nerds, and here we are.
The New Hope, man, it was just Star Wars.
We distinguish years by one time. Boy. A Star Wars movie came out.
Who's the nerd now, bitch?
Yeah. I wear it proudly. I don't care. Yeah.
All right, so in 1980, a couple of friends named Jorn Stubberud and Chital Mannheim, they started this little rock band with
Steamroller.
They had Jorn on bass and Chital on the drums. And they start this little rock band they call Musta. And I think that means black in Finnish. So that's, you know, that's pretty.
You just go right for
pretty
it.
Pretty metal from the beginning. They did lots of covers like Motorhead, Sabbath, Dead Kennedys, and Venom. Out of all the bands I listened to, they kind of steered towards the lane of Venom the most. because of the outrageous satanic overtones.
Yeah.
And it made them want to do it too. But like I said, these guys
scare the people into like
this. Like this shit's real, you know? So they screw around for a couple years. And then in 1982, Jorn, once again, bass player, he travels to a city not far away by train, and he's going to go audition for another band. You know, he's just trying to network out and, you know, play with other people. Anyway, right. The guy who picked him up from the train station, his name was Øystein Arseth. And I believe that it is actually pronounced Eichstein?
Arseth.
Arseth?
I'm not going to be able to correct you, bro.
With a hard T. Anyway, on the way to this audition, they talked. And before they even got there, they both agreed that, you know, they needed to start a band together. So they formed Mayhem in 1984. And they derived their band name from the Venom song, Mayhem with Mercy. So over the next year, they rehearsed. They didn't even play their first show until April of 1985, when they participated in a battle of the bands called Norwegian Championship of Rock. And I believe it was held at like a...
Sounds like local, a wrestling competition.
Yes. At like a local cinema, like a theater. Anyway, at said battle, they had their friend Eric Norheim, who named himself Messiah. Okay. He was their front man. And
I'm waiting for the best drummer name of all time. It'll come up eventually.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. Not too far off. So they blast through these covers of like Celtic Frost and Venom.
Oh, I like Celtic Frost. I didn't think that was black. Is that considered black metal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Norwegian. Yeah. Swedish and Norwegian. Yeah.
All right. I like Celtic Frost.
During this competition, Eric continually taunts the audience. Jorn snaps the neck of his bass, and Eichstein, he drops his pants, moons the whole crowd, and lets them know exactly what he thinks of their, you know, their contest. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Surprise, surprise. They came in dead last.
No.
Yeah.
You mooned the crowd and they didn't vote for you? Oh, no. You are not Tommy Lee.
They're not metal enough.
I can't handle this. You're not metal enough. It's just, you sound like sissies.
This is going to be basically the whole story. It's like,
who can out-metal the
cloak of evil? You're a lighter shade of gray, not quite evil enough.
Yeah. Who can out-metal the other one? Is basically what it is. Yeah.
This is like
my dad can beat up your dad. Uh-huh. Let's measure our dicks. Uh-huh. Shit like that.
Only in this case, it was, I'm going to murder this person and I'm going to burn this church. So,
you're a pussy if you don't do it.
Johnny one-uppers. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I have to tell this joke now. Three little boys sitting around. And of course it's that, you know, my dad's cooler. My dad's more badass, blah, blah, blah. The first kid's like, you know, my dad can lift up two bicycles and hold them over his head and do all this shit. And the other kid's like, yeah, well, my dad fucking did all this and da 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 da. And the third kid's like, yeah, well, my dad's so cool, but when he smokes, he can blow smoke out his ass because he's got nicotine stains in his underwear.
All right.
Okay.
You win. Your dad is tough as hell.
Not black enough for you.
Not quite metal enough. Does it diet Sprite of metal? Not even dark, it's clear and white.
My dad nightly drinks the blood of goats.
So not long after this competition, they met this guy named Metallion in 1985, and he ran this little local metal zine called Slayer, and they became quick friends. He would hang out at their rehearsal place, and he started hyping them up in his magazine before they even had anything recorded. Word spread throughout their little network, you know.
Oh yeah, the small music scene. You didn't have the internet back then. You would do anything that you could to keep people listen or, you know, subscribe and going back to buy another mag, you know.
Yeah. And
fair enough.
Because they thought, okay, all these people that aren't Norwegian, they're going to have a hard time pronouncing our names. They all adopted pseudonyms just like Venom had done. So, you know, they take another page out of Venom's playbook there. So Chital, the drummer, he just typical drummer. Sorry, Schmeebs. He gets real creative and goes, well, I'm just going to go by Menheim. That's his last name, you know. So,
real big thinker. He's a steamroller.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. So, Jorn, the bass player, he says he's going to go by Necro Butcher.
That's fucking badass. I'm just going to say that's fucking badass.
And then Eric Butcher, the guy that's been doing the vocals, he's just going to stick with Messiah. And then Einstein, he briefly says, okay, I'm going to be Destructor. And he dyes his hair black, but then he later renames himself Euronymous.
Euronymous for the rest of the
year. Apparently these guys got a hold of Anton LaVey's Satanic Bible. And although they found it quite boring, they thought it was
Yeah, because they didn't follow that shit, or they wouldn't have been doing
it. Well, they did. They did like the whole rebellion aspect, but they weren't hardcore enough to like actually practice Satanism. So
it's like they read the book to where it got to the rebellion part, and then they just stopped reading it through to like we got it, so I'm on it.
Yeah, they basically just use it as like a creative way to rebel against. The conservative mainstream society that Norway is.
Yep. You know, kids like, do what kids do.
This place is too nice. Let's wreck it.
Do what kids do. We were no different.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were assholes.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Played music to make people angry.
What are you talking about? Were. What are you talking about? Were. Yeah. So in 86, they released their first album called Pure Fucking Armageddon, which was just a recording of them in their practice space, and they used a boombox that had like one little microphone on it to record the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
some
people like this recording, and some people hate this recording. And it's split decision there. Some people are like, man, this is so metal because they went to like, you know, totally minimalistic. I like the way it sounds. And other people are like, this sounds like shit. In my personal opinion, I think it sounds like shit. But
I get both sides. It's like Joan Jett, where she couldn't get signed and then made her own record company to release her music. That's pure rock and roll. So if all you had was that, fair enough. But don't bitch at bands that have more money that are actually able to produce an album that sounds a little bit better and say, that's not. You need to go to a basement recorder with a tape recorder. I go, fuck yourself. It sounds like shit.
Do the best you can with what you got.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they're doing. They're doing the best with what they got. And if other bands have more than they have, then you can't run them down for it just because you're jealous or whatever. Or
some
kind of purist or asshole is what I mean.
I know exactly what you mean. So by 87, they got into an actual studio and recorded the album Death Crush. Right. And at that point, they actually gained some traction in the whole death metal community. And Einstein decided to release it under his own label, which he named Poser Corpse Music.
That's great.
And at that point, they start grinding and they try to network to get as many people to listen to record as they can, especially people with, you know, zines in other countries and stuff. So they're traveling, networking through Europe to get it written up, you know, to sell records because they press records and they're like, okay, we got to make our money back. So
I got to give super props to him getting ready to go on stage too, because every time I've ever went on stage to play, I was wearing exactly what I wore when I got there. Got on stage and played. These guys got to go backstage. So much leather, bullet belts, spikes everywhere. Paint your face.
We'll get into that.
So much work.
So after they record this album and all this work starts to, you know, come up, you know, it becomes very abundantly clear that Necro Butcher and Euronymous were the only two that were really devoted to the band. Manheim quit soon after the release of the album Death Crush. And he was just like, I need more financial stability. I'm going to get a job. because these guys have bad jobs. They sit there and they would bitch about you know the Norwegian way of life, but they fucking live. They got checks from the government. I mean, they didn't work.
Well, Euronymous had a job, right? Running the record store. Not yet. Okay,
it's coming up. Right. Yeah. So Mannheim quit, and then Eric, the singer, he was never really a full time member. So they go through a couple of fill-ins, but none of these guys really lasted long, maybe a couple months. And then one day towards the end of 1987, Euronymous gets his package in the mail. He opens it up and it has a cassette tape and a dead mouse that is crucified. And it smells
naturally
so bad that he just has to throw the package away, but he keeps the tape.
It's been aged for your pleasure.
Yes, yes. So he listens to this tape and he's like, okay, shit, I think we found the new vocalist. So Pelle, to his friends, Yngwie Olin was the guy that sent him this. And so he had his number. He was hoping to, possibly be able to audition for the band. So Euronymous calls him up on the phone, and for the next couple of months they talk. And he finally convinces Pelle to move to Norway from Sweden. And funny fact, Pelle couldn't speak Norwegian. And Euronymous and Necrobutcher couldn't speak Swedish. So they had to speak the broken English that they knew. Soon after that, they find John Axel, who names himself Hellhammer, to join him as a drummer.
That's the best goddamn name for a drummer I've ever heard in my life. Yeah.
So all these guys, they find a small house in the woods, and they all move in, and that's where they're going to rehearse. And it became apparent rather quickly that Pelle was fascinated with death. Apparently, at an early age, he had a near-death experience, ruptured his spleen, and, his stage name was Dead, and... He didn't fuck around with that. He was full method acting, but he was not acting.
No, this guy was.
Yeah, it was crazy. It's rumored he had this. What is it? Cotard syndrome.
Like, really?
He had delusional denial of existence. He's like, this is not real. This is like a dream. You know.
He thought he had died. Nothing matters anyway. So he just okay.
And that's why he chose the name Dead. He thought he was already dead.
He used to take his clothes out into the woods.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like dig a hole and throw him in there and then bury him.
Yeah. He would bury his clothes days before a show and then dig him up and put them on before the show. He also kept all these small dead animals in Ziploc bags. And I was like, he would inhale them before they played shows or like, recorded, like it's like he's getting his fix, you know.
That's Slipknot actually did that too.
Yeah,
with a dead bird. I think it was Clown's idea that they got this dead bird in a bag and you take a big whiff of it before you go on stage. Maybe that's why Joey was throwing up all the time before they went on. I don't know.
could be that or the cocaine. Anyway. Dead also is the person that actually coined the term corpse paint. I know they weren't the first to ever,
use it,
don the makeup and stuff like that. But like he wanted these guys to like bury him in the ground just so he would look paler and dead. You know, like I said, full method.
He did not like the sun.
No. Goddamn the sun, he said. So it didn't take long for Euronymous and Dead to get on each other's nerves. And Necrobutcher couldn't stand living there in the middle of all that shit. So he moved out.
Fuck, I love Necrobutcher and Hellhammer being in the same band. That sounds so fucking killer.
Literally. Hellhammer said he remembered Dead at one point going out to sleep in the woods one night because Euronymous was blasting this horrible synth music and Dead hated it. And then when Euronymous realized that Dead had gone out in the woods, he went outside and began shooting a shotgun in the air. There are also other claims, by the way, this is all like, well, he said that this happened, and this other guy says, no, no, it happened like this. And it's all hearsay. All this shit is hearsay. So
oh, yeah, yeah.
Before you send me any hate mail, this is just...
In the movie, I forget, Lords of whatever you said.
Lords of Chaos
was produced by the singer's dad. So, you know, it's going to favor him because you would if you're dead.
Yeah, yeah.
So who knows exactly... They were all in it together, man. It was all...
Yeah. Yes. Madness. They were all knee-deep in the dirt and the corpses. There are other claims made that Dead actually stabbed Euronymous at one point.
Oh, I never heard that.
Yeah. Euronymous would often leave to stay with his parents. And I think that's the only way they got through this, as long as they did. So they didn't play any shows for the next 2 years. They just slaved away on new music for 2 years. Two fucking years. I can't believe I couldn't do that.
You would think that album would have been better. Sorry to anybody. I just offended.
Nice. So they didn't play their they didn't play their first show with this lineup until February of 1990. At said show, they apparently put severed pigs' heads on stakes, and then they threw them out into the crowd, and Dead proceeded to whip out a rather dull knife and attempt to cut his arm up with the knife on his stage, trying to cover the front row in blood, and apparently the knife wasn't sharp enough, so he grabbed a beer bottle, broke it, and cut the shit out of himself with a broken beer bottle.
It's pretty fucking metal.
Yeah. In the crowd that night were future members of Emperor, Dark Throne, and Immortal. Mm-hmm.
All better sounding bands, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Once again, I'm not a huge black metal fan, so I don't, you know, like, a fuck yourself. I don't care if you send hate mail. I don't give a fuck. It's my opinion. Eat shit.
Eat dead shit. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm allowed for an opinion, so you can suck it.
So these guys go play a few shows, like, throughout Europe, and then they go home after they release their album. And Euronymous and Dead, they're still kind of fighting and bickering. So that's in February. On this little tour they go on, I think at one point two of their shows got canceled, and they end up going to Germany to play the last show, and they're only going to get like $100. And then nobody showed up, and the guys that like told them they would pay them $100, they didn't have $100 to pay them. So they made them sell all their fucking instruments to pay them for playing the show.
I was going to say I relate to that, but I've never been in one that bad. I mean, I've played to other bands and their girlfriends at shows, but...
Oh, that's normal. That's normal.
Yeah, that just happens constantly.
Yeah,
but I've never had to sell my equipment because I told them to eat a dick.
In April that year, a few months after, Euronymous, Hellhammer, and Necro Butcher left over Easter weekend. Kind of funny, we're on Easter weekend.
Yeah, to visit their family. Right there.
Dead stayed behind because he didn't have any place to go, you know? He didn't have
any
family.
I don't think he wanted a place to go. I think that guy wanted to be alone. I think he was just naturally an angry person that didn't care about anything. It seemed like, from everything I've ever read. He was a mentally ill person,
and Euronymous kind of took advantage of him.
Probably. Yeah,
that's what I think. Anyway, sometime... In the time they were gone,
Dead's fame out of this.
Dead killed himself. He committed suicide.
Well, you could say he committed suicide, or you could say he butchered himself.
Yeah. Apparently, he first tried to slit his wrists in the woods, but I guess it was taking too long, so he went back inside and he shot himself in the head with a shotgun.
That'll do it.
He left. Only thing he left, he didn't really have a suicide note. It was just a note he left it. Said, excuse the blood.
Sorry about the blood. Yeah.
Yeah. So Euronymous had gone back to check on. Yeah. It's rough, man.
Yeah. And he was so young. What is he, 20?
22, I think.
22 years old, and you're that angry and just done. At 22, I couldn't wait to just go do anything, go see something, go have fun doing this or that. And he's just like, fuck life. I hate it. This all sucks. He's like me now.
guys, if you're having thoughts of suicide or, you know,
call somebody.
Call somebody, please. Talk to somebody. Yeah. Call a helpline if you can't find anybody else to talk to. Anyway, moving along with the story.
Okay.
Hieronymus goes to check on dead on Easter Sunday that afternoon. He did not, no one had the key to the house except for dead. And the house, the door was locked. So he knocked and dead never came. So he left.
Of course not.
And then he went back to his parents' house. He called Necro Butcher later that afternoon to see if dead was there with him. And he said, no, he's not here with me. Hieronymus goes back to the house, takes a ladder, climbs up to dead's room through an open window where he finds dead. Well, dead.
Dead. Yeah.
But this guy, you know, being the bleeding,
caring,
heart that he
loving
is,
friend.
Yeah. He didn't call the police first. He goes back to town to buy a disposable camera because this is before camera phones.
Mm-hmm.
And then goes back to the house to take pictures of dad's body. He
Which
rearranges
I'm surprised
the
he got back. I'm surprised they were, that they developed those and gave them back. You think they would have kept that shit, but
yeah.
I don't know what the laws are over there, but no, he got them back because they're in the album.
Yeah. He rearranged the body just a little bit to make it a little more metal. Supposedly, he also took pieces of bone fragment from dead skull, which he later turned into necklaces and gave out to those he deemed worthy. And then he called the police. So when Hieronymus
Anything else he did?
It's rumored that he might have, you know, ate some of his brains and stuff. But
just gonna skirt past that part.
Well, I mean, let's face it, he didn't do that shit. It's just all, it's like, I'm more mental than you are.
He probably made it up, but I thought we should throw it in there because it's like the whole thing's one up and it's one up you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've never ate brains. Well, neither have you. You don't know that. I told people I did.
Why do you think I'm so metal? So Hieronymus calls Necro Butcher up, tell him what had happened. Necro Butcher claims he said something along the lines of this. Dead has done something very cool. He killed himself. Now, this is the lead singer of your band and the guy that you live with. And this is how you cool. tell one of your friends that he's died. So Necro Butcher was like, what the fuck do you mean cool? Have you fucking lost your mind? And
apparently,
Hieronymus was like, hey, relax. I have photos of everything.
What a dick. What a fucking dick.
Yes.
If one of my buddies killed himself, I wouldn't tell anybody that's fucking cool.
Yeah. So Necro Butcher is so pissed off. He says, don't talk to me until you destroy those fucking pictures. And he quits the band.
I don't blame him. Run like hell.
Oh. Yeah. So Hieronymus uses dead suicide to further the evil image of the band.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, one of the photos he took would be used for a live bootleg album called Dawn of the Blackhearts.
Yep, it's definitely there.
He said that he never used the photo. They didn't really put out the album. Like I said, it's a bootleg album. But apparently someone got a hold of the picture, and that's the cover. So
well, he was working in a record shop, so he could have sold it just however he wanted.
We're getting there.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
You're good.
Oh, yep.
So throughout the whole metal scene in Norway, all these rumors spread that Hieronymus probably murdered dead. But since there's no such thing as bad publicity in black metal or anything, Hieronymus is like, hey, it just makes me look just a little more evil than the other bands. So he's fine with it, you know? I read some of these interviews that he gave after dead died, and it's fucking hysterical how fucking retarded this kid sounds.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, he basically said that dead killed himself because black metal had become trendy and commercial.
Already.
Yeah. Here.
Well, they released one.
I wrote this down so I could share this with you. I thought this was fucking hilarious. This is the extent of this guy's stupidity. We have declared war. Dead died because of the trend. People have destroyed everything from the old black metal, death metal scene. Today, quote unquote, death metal is something normal, accepted, and funny. Arg. And we hate it.
used to be spikes, knives, chains, leather, and black clothes, and this was the only thing Dead lived for, as he hated this world and everything which lives on it. If we had the economic possibility to do it, we would beat up at concerts and beat up all trend people all the time until they would be too scared to go to concerts at all.
This scrawny fuck couldn't whip him. I don't know anything. Pussy. Yeah. Yeah.
So not long after all this shit goes down.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, yeah. You arrogant asshole. You either make good music that people care for or you don't. That's how it works. You have your small fan base. God, I fucking hate arrogant dickheads. Fucking hate. Well, you just don't get it. Well, maybe it's not good.
I had no idea you would get this like worked up over this.
I'm so angry. I'm so fucking angry. You don't get it.
Accomplished.
If you don't like it, turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't listen to it if you don't like it. Fucking hell.
Con, you're being really quiet over there.
He is. I think he agrees with 100% of everything I'm saying, though.
He can neither confirm nor deny.
No, no. I'm going to be completely honest. We started on this cool aliases and bands. And I've been trying to find the coolest ones I have ever heard. And I can't find them all. But it's the ones that Fear Factor used to use to, you know, Burton C. Bell, dry, yeah, long vocal martyr. And I can't find the rest of them.
Christian. And
he was like subharmonic fucking something. I can't find them anywhere.
Raymond Herrera.
And I can't find them anywhere. And I've just been searching, like, no, these are cool aliases.
Look for the album.
I've looked, dude.
For the Soul of a New Machine.
Nowhere.
The machine.
Nowhere. Nowhere.
You can't find it?
No.
Because I couldn't find the inside label of, I mean, I didn't look super hard, but I was looking for the inside label of Cowboys from Hell, and I couldn't find it because I seriously think it said Diamond Daryl instead of Dimebag on that, but couldn't find it. But
yeah, I mean,
okay.
I went off on my own tangent, and I didn't realize I was being as quiet as I was.
No, you were being super quiet because you were in it. I think you were in it. And I don't care if it pisses off every black metal fan in the world. Fear Factory sounds better than any black metal band I've ever heard. I'd rather listen to that than any black metal band I've ever heard. And you can like your shit and give me a hard time, but I don't care. There we go.
Thanks for the giggle, Lenny.
Anyway, back to our story.
Get stabbed in the back 37 times. Yeah, go ahead.
So after Death Suicide, we're talking summer of 91. Euronymous, he just goes all in.
You're still calling it a suicide, huh?
Yeah, he goes all in, becomes obsessed with all things satanic and evil. And then he opens up his record store, which he names Helvetia. Which means
his
hell.
Dad opened up that record store.
Oh, yeah. His mom and dad.
That motherfucker didn't have any
shit.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah. So he opens up this record store in Oslo. And his original idea was to make it a specialty shop for metal enthusiasts more attuned to his tastes. But he was forced to sell like death metal because that's what all the trendy kids were into.
I've never heard death metal put as trendy. That's not trendy. You either like it or you don't. I've never heard anybody force themselves.
When you are the black metal, death metal is trendy.
That's Fork, the pop Fork, music.
Fork. I've got another quote here.
Cannibal Corpse is pop music.
Yes.
Fair enough. I'm talking, that would have been back in Chris Barnes was
fucking. Yeah, butchered at first, yeah.
He's quoted as saying, I'd rather be selling Judas Priest than Napalm Death, but this will help us earning money so we can order more evil records to the evil people.
Okay. I like Judas Priest, but no, bad mouthing Napalm Death. Yeah. I've got an issue with that. It's like, well, I based my bass tone on that in my early days. Nasty shit.
Yeah, cheers. Cheers.
So at this point, Uranus
is nasty. You can't tell when I fuck up. No, I'm okay.
We're never going to get through this, guys.
I know.
I didn't know you were going to get this upset.
Oh, no, no. We've already been through it. People died. Shit burned. People were murdered. Suicided. I mean, obviously the Clintons were a part of the black metal scene because people got suicided.
They must have been.
Oh, fuck.
What was Hillary? 15 or 16 years old?
Oh, my God. Oh, fuck.
All right.
Completely off the rails.
All right, let's go.
All right.
It's not white water. It is black water.
So at this point, Euronymous starts his own label, which he names Death Like Silence Productions.
And his
label. He starts to curate all these artists.
You're giving him too much credit. That motherfucker didn't do anything. His dad paid for everything. All right. So I'm sorry. I'm just going to.
You good?
Yeah. All right.
You good? All right. So then he starts selling all these albums in the store. And this shop solidifies his street cred amongst, you know, all the black metal scene in Norway and Sweden. Those he deemed worthy became a part of his black circle, which he called it. And the basement of this record store became a hangout for metal musicians like guys from Emperor, Thorns, and also this guy named Varg Vikernes, who went by the name Count Grishnak of Bursen.
I like that quite a bit.
Of course you do. It's Grishnak is, I think that was the dude from Lord of the Rings that tried to kill the two hobbits and eat them.
And he stole, was it Bezerum or whatever he named his band was from Lord of the Rings too?
Burzum.
Yeah. I only listened to it enough to know that it wasn't my thing.
And
that's how long it took me.
In whatever Elvish or whatever language of Mordor that they speak, I think that's the word for darkness.
Okay. I thought it was
doesn't get much more black metal than that. Fucking nerd.
You're nailing it, buddy. Stealing things from Lord of the Rings and you want me to expect you're evil.
So Varg ends up spending, Varg lives like 4 or 5 hours away. So he will come and hang out and spend, you know, a week or so on the couch in the basement. And Euronymous and him get to know each other.
And eventually, on the couch.
Yep. Euronymous invites Varg to play bass for Mayhem and offers to release his music through his label. Slowly but surely, though, their friendship turns into rivalry. To see who could become more evil. Who's the more evil one?
It's the most ridiculous shit I've ever heard.
Yeah. In 92, members of all the black metal community in Norway, they begin this wave of arson attacks on churches.
No, and you know what? I'm gonna say right now, if you rooted for that, fuck you. I get it. If you're not for Christianity, fair enough, but the beautiful architecture that you just burnt down.
Some of these people churches they burnt down were like 300 years old.
Yeah. Worked fucking years. A lot of the people that started it didn't live long enough to see the end of it whenever it was created. And you just burn it down because you think Satan's cool. Fucking asshole.
I think by 96, there had been at least 50 churches they burned down. And now in every case that was solved, those responsible were either from black metal bands or they were black metal fans.
Or so the second.
Some of the buildings were very historical.
Man, I've seen some of the wood carvings.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the wood carvings like in the pillars and shit. And it's just like, do you know that some dude put his entire life into that pillar? And you just lit a match because you were like, fuck God. Well, that didn't show him anything, you fucking asshole.
Yeah.
What a dick. Oh, God, I'm so angry at this episode, and I didn't think I would be. Keep going.
Yeah, I was going to say.
One imaginary friend doesn't like the other imaginary friend, so we're not going to imagine it anymore. We're going to burn it.
Leave that part out. And still, some dude, men and women work their fucking asses off to build this place, to make it a place where people go. And I don't care what you believe in. If you go to a place that gives you peace and makes you feel better inside, then I'm all for it. I don't care what it is. But if you set fire to it, you're ruining everything that was designed to do.
I have never thought of a strip club as being a church before.
That's because they're dirty. That
is where I go, and I'm happy, and I have peace, and wow. I'm just going to call it church from now on.
It's like a church where you can get tetanus.
This is what happens when you allow me to re-engage. You should have left me Googling shit.
Nope, fair enough. You're allowed. All right, sorry, Zach. This episode is going to be 47 hours long.
It's going to be 49 hours long. So the first church that was burnt was Fantoff Stav Church, which was burnt to the ground in 92. And the cops believe Varg Vikernes of Burz was responsible. And
I think he admitted to it, didn't he? Okay.
An interview, yes, he did.
But he would have probably, once he was in prison,
he said he knew who was responsible. He also made some other shit up. We'll get to that in a second.
Fair enough.
They missed the opportunity to do some really awesome crossover covers with this shit. I mean, could you imagine them doing "Burn, Baby, Burn"?
Funny you should mention that, because Turkey the cover of Inferno.
Yeah,
cover of his second EP, which was in English, it's Ashes, is a photograph of the church that was burned down.
I didn't get into that. Did you listen to that? Have you listened to it?
No, I'm not in.
Yeah, I didn't get. I listened to it, but I just couldn't.
It's
just not my thing.
For me, it's more a matter of principles. We'll get into that in a little bit too.
Oh, that's fair enough. No, I get it. All right.
So at this point, it's Johnny One Upper and members of the metal scene. They all start burning churches.
Yep. It was like a competition after that. Yeah. Beautiful monuments are being burnt down constantly.
Yeah. And even members of like Swedish black metal bands, they start to burn churches as well. And this pisses Varg off. So he instructs
this. Does that make the Taliban like straight up even more black metal?
Just they don't hang play out. The right instruments.
Just hang out. So Varg tells this girl he knows that's like a band-aid named Maria to douse acetone on the door and windows of the house of the leader of a Swedish band, Therion, and light it on fire and leave a note.
Acetone will burn.
Oh, yeah. So she leaves this note on the front door that says the count was here and he will return. The band leader, Christopher Johnson, wasn't hurt, but he received a letter apparently written by Varg not long after that, that says, "Hello, victim. This is Count Grishnak of Burzum. I've just come home from a journey to Sweden, and I think I lost a match in a signed Burzum LP. Ha ha. Perhaps I will make a return trip soon and make this time. Maybe this time you won't wake up in the middle of the night."
Is that a threat?
Oh, that's a total threat, yeah. Varg...
Yeah, it sounds...
Varg was brought up by very racist parents, and... He was a Nazi. I mean, his parents were like, "What the fuck are you doing?"
I think a lot of that black metal stuff is pretty racist. The whole Viking thing is pretty racist, I think.
Yeah, a lot of it is.
I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I said I think that's what it is, because, like I said,
allegedly.
Euronymous even supposedly took part in a church burning, but he was never convicted.
Yeah, because he wouldn't have done that.
To coincide with the release of Mayhem's De Mysterious Dom Satanas.
I love the names of the albums, but the music still
sucks. Yeah,
it's not good. I don't care.
Anyway, Varg and Euronymous had allegedly plotted to bomb a cathedral, which appears on that album's cover. Musicians Faust and Samet.
Faust.
That's the drummer.
Emperor, yeah.
Yeah.
Emperor's drummer.
As well as Jorn Inge Berg of Hades Almighty were also all convicted for charge.
Hades Almighty.
Yeah.
It's just fucking crunch.
I know, man. These guys are so bad. These guys are so full of themselves, they do not even know it.
We're so evil. Shut the fuck up.
Well, the fucked up thing is like,
I'm gonna change my name to Tiger Panther.
You never seen the devil? If you did, he'd probably fucking kill you. You dumb bastards. What the fuck are you doing? So stupid. Oh, we're evil because we put white face paint on and then put black around it. Yeah, Kiss did that. And they sound great.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Want to burn churches every night.
There's going to be nobody from Norway listens to us.
And then not party every day. We do not party. We are too black to party.
Damn it, Zach. I'm sorry to keep pausing you.
You're good. So all these guys that were convicted from these church burnings, they had no remorse. And they described.
Of course they didn't. They thought they were
no remorse? No regrets?
Not even one letter? I'm sorry.
They said it was retaliation against Christianity in Norway. Later in 93, an article was published in a local Oslo newspaper called The Bergens Tidende, which it was an interview with Varg as his alter ego, Count Grishnak, where he declared himself responsible for the burning of the churches and the murder of a homosexual man in Lillehammer.
He stabbed him to death, or he said he did anyway, yeah, right?
He didn't. He didn't do it. So the
German stabbed him multiple times in his rectum with my penis.
Yeah. Then he felt bad. He's like, no, after he left and I paid him. No, I'm the one that killed him. Yeah, I killed him. I didn't actually do the other thing. That's,
yeah. Okay. So the journalists have alerted the police before the article's published on the front page with the headline, "We lit the fires." And I had a photo of Varg with two daggers in his hands.
In his face. Of course.
Covered in his hair, you know, like total metal looking, you know.
Oh, yeah. He's super satanic and evil.
Are you ready for this? Mm. We didn't light the fires.
All right, Billy Joel, calm down.
They are always burning since the world's been turning.
Oh, shit.
So the police find a flyer for his new album, Ashes, and it's got his fucking home address on it. So they track him down 2 days later.
Fucking idiot.
And he spends 6 months in pretrial detention until he is released for a lack of evidence.
Not a lot of evidence back in the day.
Later, that he gave this interview with the aim of resurrecting Helvetia, the record store, because sales were bad. The store wasn't doing well. You're on
the music shit. What are you fucking talking about? There's not a certain man, group of people that listen to that shit. There's not a lot of them worldwide. Pretty big.
Because he, you know, Euronymous's parents were the ones that pretty much paid for everything.
No.
Because of this interview and all the uproar that was going on, they made him close the store. And he's like, Mom, Dad, what am I supposed to do now? Where am I going to sell all my evil records?
Do you ever think he was like getting interviewed? He's like, no, but we're really big in Finland.
No, probably not, because they weren't.
Yeah.
They didn't get big until later when everybody thought it was evil and cool. That's when it got big, and it's not cool. It's shit music, and I think a lot of people force themselves to listen to it. I really do.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to listen to this until I like it, because I like to be evil. Because if the first listen that you hear that shit and you think, oh, that's awesome, bullshit.
So,
if you've heard any other music before in your life,
So what I understand of this is that when the actual good black metal bands with good production started making it big in other countries and across the world, that's when everybody went back to find the roots, and all of a sudden, oh, they were burning churches. No, you new guys are the fucking posers.
Yep, that's exactly like, what happened.
No,
that's
we're actually making good music and not burning churches.
That's exactly what happened. It went beyond music. It went to, no, these guys done evil shit, so this music has to be better, right? No, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It sounds like shit if it sounds like shit. But like I said, I like Bathory. There's a couple of their albums that I've listened to that I was like, dude's shredding pretty good on that. I mean, it does sound like it's recorded in a tin can, but that's pretty cool. But if they had the money, like I said before.
Mister, I ain't one to tell tales out of school, but there's a guy in there paying $10 to sing into his can.
Love that movie.
Because he owed everyone money and had no money to pay anybody. Everyone in the scene pretty well hated Euronymous, except for like the fans still liked him. But like he had gone on record as stating there were a few bands from Sweden that he were like, you know, they're not the black metal. They're like light metal.
They life just metal. Make the meatballs. They got the black metal.
Yeah.
Dude thought he was Dave Mustaine and he wasn't.
Fuck him. Yeah, something like that. And,
if you dislike Dave Mustaine, you can't say that guy can't play guitar because you'd be lying out your fucking ass.
Euronymous began spreading rumors that he was going to torture and murder Vogue for his disruptive, compulsive need for attention to the point that, you know, he'd started the church burnings and everything like that.
It'd be Euronymous had, will.
Basically, Euronymous was about, you know, the music and keeping his place in the scene and the business aspect side of things, even though he fucking sucked at the business. And Varg was more obsessed with the actual imagery and idea of the music, not the music itself. So, you know, Varg thinks he's a fucking poser. He's not true to the scene. And he starts planning ways to remove Euronymous from the scene.
Who's not true to the scene? Are you guys grabbing an axe every day, defending your homeland against somebody that's impeding on you? Go fuck yourself. He's not true to the scene. Eat a dick. Fucking assholes.
This all boils down to these kids had it so good that they had to ruin. They didn't know what they wanted to ruin was. Shit because
they didn't know they what bad was.
Be, yeah. Yeah.
That's why punk rock is better than black metal.
There you go. I can neither confirm nor will I ever deny that statement being true.
So Varg gets himself an alibi, implicating his roommate, Andrea Nagelsit. And
fair enough.
He has her rent suitcase that he's already seen using his other roommate, Blackthorn, which is he's like a new guitarist in Mayhem at the time, I think. So they use his credit card to make it look like they never left his hometown of Bergen, where he lived, which is, you know, not in Oslo. It's like six hours away driving. And in August 1993, he goes and puts his plan in motion. August 9th, Varg leaves Bergen with his... he says his intention is to show up at Euronymous' house to hand him a signed contract, have him sign a contract, and basically get him out of off the label. That's what he says he's going to do, and tell him to fuck off.
He was releasing albums, like wasn't he? Like
we had, Barzum or what? Had, I think he, yeah, he had two albums with Death Like Silence. And he
makes
out.
Me, it like, because, makes me laugh my ass off because I've seen celebrities wearing those shirts with the Barzum logo on it. This is like, you've never listened to that because I have and I didn't like it. So there's no fucking way you're a fan.
So he gets Blackthorn. I think his real name's Snorri. Snorri Rook.
Is he the ninth elf?
I guess.
Or the ninth dwarf? Okay.
And he doesn't know really what's going on. He's just like, okay, cool. I'll, you know, I've got all these riffs. I want to show them, you know, to the guys in Mayhem, and maybe we can, you know, get some music going from this. Once they get to Euronymous' house, Blackthorn stays outside and he's just smoking cigarettes, I guess. And Vikernes goes into up to Euronymous' apartment, knocks on the door. And the moment Varg enters the apartment, he claims that he lifted his arm up to hand over the, you know, the contract. And at that time, Euronymous kicked him in the chest and he ran into the kitchen. And he presumed he was going to go get a knife or something. So Varg pulls out this dull 3-inch blade, plunges it in his back.
Americans do it right. But yeah. Okay.
And then, you know, Euronymous is like trying to, you know, he's trying to yell at the neighbors for help, which he never got. Mm. In total, he was stabbed 23 times.
Probably sound like he was recording an album over there.
Yes, probably.
That's a dickhead to say. Think the same.
Varg claims that the fatal stabbing was he stabbed him in the head.
Yeah, that'll do it.
But on the autopsy, it just says he died because he bled out.
And the good thing is that he really learned his lesson and was really sorry about it. And that's not even remotely close to fucking true, because he was super proud of this.
Oh, yeah. This guy had everything planned out. So Euronymous's body ends up on the stairs and he's wearing nothing but his tighty-whities.
Well, they stained, tobacco stained, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Stained. He was
nicotine
cool.
Nicotine stained from earlier.
Yeah. He could blow smoke out his ass.
Yeah, that's what we learned earlier.
So Varg...
Levity.
Varg gets Hellhammer and they leave the scene, and he throws his bloody clothes in the river, I think, or in a lake. He ties them to some stones and throws them in the lake, and then they go home and try to lay low. And then the next day, all these people show up on his doorstep to interview him, he says, to see what he thinks about Euronymous as being dead. And, you know, he pretends like, oh, shit, you know, he died. And during their initial questioning, it took them quite a while to figure out that it was Varg that had done it, because so many fucking people hated him.
Because, well, no, the dude was so fucking calm.
Yeah.
From everything that I ever watched, the dude was just calm as shit. Just, there was no emotion in him. He was just fucking calm as shit. Just, he'd answer, yeah. Every once in a while, you get a smirk out of him or some shit like that. And then, like, when he, but no, that, I would have thought the guy was guilty either when he, he's like, cops are showing up and asking you questions. You would expect somebody to be like a little bit like,
yeah.
Oh, no, I was here. And trying to make up a lot of details. The dude just seemed so calm. That, fuck. I don't know.
Yeah. So during their questioning of, you know, all these people that were involved with Euronymous, this local fangirl said she wouldn't tell them who killed him. But she did give them a tip about the Emperor drummer, Bard Faust. Now, what we talked about earlier about the Lilyhammer thing, that was him. And the night before he went to go burn a church with Euronymous and Varg, he was at his house visiting his parents in Lilyhammer on August 21st. And apparently he went to a bar and he was like, well, I only had one drink and, you know, it just wasn't my scene, so I decided to leave. When I left, I decided to go through, you know, the Winter Park, which they were building the park for the Winter Olympics. Came across this guy named Magna and Andreasen. And this guy was like, hey, let's go up to the woods and, you know, fool around or whatever. And he was like, okay, so...
He was in Pickle Park. And
he was like, if I'm going to do this, I got to do it now because I'll never have another opportunity. And so he stabs the guy to death. And
super proud of it, too.
This guy's like, apparently he stabbed him so hard the last time in the back that he had to put his foot on the guy's back to pull the knife out.
You don't realize that unless you've been like a meat cutter like I have, there's a reason why there's blood grooves in the knife, because if you... plunge it into something, easy. pulling it back out. There's suction on that son of a bitch. That's why there's grooves down the side of a knife so that you can pull it back out to let the air in it. Otherwise, you're just you would have to put a foot on the back. It's not. Anyways, it's not going to come out like the movies.
Moaning and groaning as he walking away, and I guess he turned around and went back.
I'm trying to be more evil than everybody.
He kicked this guy's head in because he didn't want to risk this guy living through this. And
put your fucking mouth on the curb.
Yeah. All because this guy, you know, propositioned him, and apparently it was a bit of a homophobe.
I just taken it as a bit of a compliment. That's the same thing as a girl saying you're good looking. I think the gay man says, "Hey, you're attractive.
Thank you.
You're barking up the wrong tree, but thank you very much. Here's a dollar because you made my day."
Anyway, Faust apparently, you know, he told everybody in the scene about this.
I bet they were fighting over who did it. I bet a lot of people were taking claim to it.
Yeah,
it was like, well, I got to one up them and say that I was there and I was the one that done it. Kind of bullshit.
Anyway, he was arrested not long after, confessed to the killing, killing the guy on impulse. And then in 1994, early 94, Emperor released their debut album, The Night Side Eclipse. And not soon after that, he was sentenced to 14 years in prison. And obviously, we left Emperor.
Yeah, you're done.
He only served 9 years and was released in 2003. And now he's in other death metal bands.
Mm-hmm.
Black metal bands, pardon my language. Anyway, it took 9 days. After 9 days of questioning friends and family, it became apparent that Varg was the primary suspect.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to his house to question him, they discovered 150 kilos of explosives in his apartment, which he shared with Blackthorn. So immediately they're all taken in for questioning. Blackthorn.
There will be no more churches if you let him go.
No, there were other churches burned down after this.
The fans kept doing it. Yeah, other bands and stuff kept doing it.
Blackthorn breaks down, tells the cops everything, and after that, everything gets even more fucking confusing because it's all, well, he said this, but well, this guy said this. And like Vikernes says, Blackthorn made the whole story up. I don't buy that shit. So Varg,
he's the Alex Jones of Norway.
May 19th, 94, that's when Varg was found guilty of murder, arson, theft, and possession of explosives. Sentenced to the maximum sentence in Norway of 21 years. He continued to work on music and wrote 2 books while in prison. And these books blatantly prove the fact that he is a fucking racist and a Nazi.
Yes, okay. Absolutely. Yes, he is 100%. Yeah.
He was released in 2009, and then in 2014, he was charged again with inciting racial hatred against Muslims and Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And he also had a YouTube channel.
Certainly does. You can still watch him.
Yeah, well, he was banned in 2019 because of all these racist views. And he also developed some sort of D&D Nazi version. Well, it's really racially biased. Let's put it that way. I'm not going to bring it up.
I like D&D, but I don't want the racially biased part of it in there.
Long story short, to recap, this one asshole killed this other asshole, and then there's still lots of assholes. And that is the story of Norwegian black metal, and that's all I'm going to say about it. That took about 40 minutes longer than I thought.
That's all I have to say about that.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
I think I've said enough, but I will say one more thing. I'm going to say one more thing because I'm so angry. If you're a younger person and you're listening to this and you think that these heavy bands are super evil, they're fucking not. They're not evil. There's nothing evil about it. They want to make your money. If you like the music. Stay away from that evil shit because it doesn't mean anything. They're just writing fucking songs to sell them. So don't go out and kill people in the name of fucking Satan. Quit it. It's don't do it in the name stupid. Of the Lord either. Nope, don't do it that way either. I don't care. It's Christian people's bad. I don't know if they're asking you to slaughter people in the name of the Lord. But if any album that you're listening to is asking you to slaughter somebody, fucking stop listening to it. Or go see someone.
And let's just be clear, while we're on the racist part of it, you know, the devil is in a long-term relationship with Saddam Hussein, okay?
It's been documented. I've seen it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've seen South Park too.
Bigger, longer, uncut.
Uncut. And that's our show. Thanks for hanging out this week, guys. I'm Zach.
I am Sparrow that wants to yell more things, but Zach does not want me to. Todd.
I am a me popsicle, and I do not kill people for any imaginary friends.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well put. Well said. And
bye.
Bye-bye. Later.
Later.
It's evil! Don't watch it!
It's alive!
I watch with you.
They're coming to get you.
By the power of Christ.
This is
me.
Hello, Mr. Fancy.
What's my line, Zach? What's my line?